what they know about them Texas boys.
You're listening to the most dangerous show in Texas, Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn.
Wherever you are, however you may be listening, it is now Fight Night. Welcome to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com. I'm your host, Eddie Cross. You can find me on Twitter at Eddie Experience, one E in the middle. And joining me as always, Mr. Jordan Wahlberger.
Eddie, it's great to see you. You can find us at Fight Night ATX on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. You can find me at Nonstop MMA. I mean, I'm coming off Father's Day. I watched the Clippers lose, which was disappointing. I did not want that to happen. Although, I kind of figured that was going to happen, especially when they were forced to play 2 days after the last series ended because ABC needed a game on Sunday afternoon.
Hey, that's what Kawhi gets for wanting to move to the major market of L.A., and now he's out with, ACL or something like that?
No, actually, I think
I wish I was more upset.
I think Kawhi's coming back, right? I was listening to Bill Simmons earlier this week, and it's right. I mean, what advantage do the Clippers have of saying, if he really does have an ACL tear, like, what advantage do they have to not say what he has, right? If he's out, he's out. There's no, like, gamesmanship to say, like, oh, he's day-to-day. There's no advantage to do that. So I'm hoping he is, he's just, you know, he's got that strained knee, and he'll be back.
That just goes to show me that when he was sitting out with San Antonio, it was just because he wanted to, and not because he was upset that they wanted to make him come back from injury earlier.
Well, you're a bitter... You'd
come back if you wanted to.
You're a bitter, bitter man, Eddie. That's
Yes, I am.
That's typical
yes,
of you.
I am.
You're a bitter, small, little
Toronto
man.
Toronto has our sixth championship.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you feel that way. Eddie, I
mean, right.
Not a great day to be
well,
a
I'm
Longhorn.
Also upset that the Longhorns lost in the C-Dub in the College World Series. I was telling a buddy of mine that I was a little worried about their bats, and the bats did not come out. Lost 2-1 to Mississippi State. So... fingers crossed for the next game.
Yeah.
By the time you hear this, at least on the radio,
they'll probably be down 2-0.
You son of a...
They'll be hanging out with Kevin Durant, who's also not playing sports these days. Former Longhorn.
And where is anyone from BYU?
They're in the steeplechase and the trials right now at the Olympics. They're getting ready to go. I don't know. Did you see
that? That is the most fun of the long-distance races.
Eddie, I want you to look up, and I want all of you to look up, BYU steeplechase NCAA runner. I'm not going to say what's happening in that. And this was a few weeks ago, and it was surprising. I will be honest; it was alarming, you could say. So
whoa! What did I just see that?
Yeah, you did see that, Eddie. We have been watching. Yeah,
I'm not clicking on that video.
It's actually a funny video, but Eddie, we have been watching
sure
the Olympic trials all week. And that's been exciting.
Oh, not with
the swimming,
kids.
The track and field. I mean, the kids, it's great to watch the swimming and the track and field and the gymnastics as we get ready for Tokyo.
Yeah, I'm a former track guy myself, so I love watching track and field. But I would not want my kids to see what your Dirty Cougar alumni pal is up to.
Well, that wasn't at the Olympic trials. That was at the NCAA tournaments, and we did not watch that. They have not seen that. And that was horrific. Eddie, it's been great. I tell you, my Drake and I, when we're going this summer, we're going to Las Vegas. We just got tickets to go see Team USA basketball in an exhibition against, I think it's Argentina when we're there. Unfortunately, though, you've got LeBron saying he'd rather play for the Toon Squad this summer. And you've got Kawhi, who's probably injured, Anthony Davis, who's injured. I just go down the laundry list of players who are probably injured right now who won't be playing this summer. Devin Booker
Half
said he
Brooklyn
will be
Nets. I doubt KD would play.
I think I bet you KD would play. I mean, he is.
Well,
because
he's on his first full season after that Achilles tear, I think he should probably take it easy.
Unlikely that you see Kyrie. Unlikely you probably see James Harden.
Yeah.
All these guys coming off injury. So,
haven't seen them all year. What's new?
So we will see. Eddie, last week we talked about multiple screens. You said, hey, you have four screens. And this is what you were going to watch. Tell me, what was the end result? Let's get into it. What did you watch?
This weekend was the reason I bought this little setup for my TV. So, got four corners. The first corner, I saw the main event of UFC.
Okay.
So, I saw Ige and Korean Zombie.
Really, the only one you needed to watch?
And then that one switched over to the Inoue fight.
Yep.
Afterwards. Over on the top right, I was trying to watch Charlo and Showtime. Charlo versus
Montiel, yes.
Macias Montiel, yeah. Bottom left, Austin FC. Opening match, Q2 Stadium. That was kind of fun. Except we didn't score a single point.
I did like seeing McConaughey out there in that green suit, though, firing the crowd up with those bongos.
I am not surprised that you love that green suit.
I love it.
I'm surprised you don't have one now.
I mean, I can only have so many novelty suits, and that's just not one I have right now.
Like, Eddie, it's only been a couple days. Give me time. Yeah, and then bottom right on the laptop, I had Tribute to the Kings and watching the goat and the other goat take on other people, sons.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
Well, good. Well, let's get into it, Eddie.
It's hard to keep up with sometimes.
I really think we need to start with the biggest winner. I mean, typically, guys, we talk about MMA here, and the biggest MMA winner didn't even fight in MMA. It was Anderson Silva, the Tribute to the Kings, defeating Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. via split decision. Now, obviously, this is the biggest winner. This is Anderson Silva. He defeats him via split decision. But that's crazy. This is after Cesar Chavez Jr. missed weight, lost 100K. He said he thought it was an 185-pound fight. He thought it was Anderson's weight. And that he fought in the UFC, and that's why he was heavier. I think it was like 184. And then, but Eddie, after watching this fight and throughout the fight, really seeing that Anderson outstruck Chavez Jr. Like I think it was like 392 to 153. But knowing that,
I think that was thrown, but he doubled him up like 153 and landed.
So knowing that this fight is on a card that's dedicated to Cesar Chavez Jr.'s father, Julio Cesar Chavez. It was in Mexico. It is boxing. And we know that judges are shady. Did you think that Anderson Silva would be screwed if this fight went to a decision and Chavez Jr. would be gifted? Because it was clearly a victory for Anderson Silva as you watched the fight.
Yeah, before the fight, I was definitely worried about that. But as it went on and you just saw that Anderson was just styling on him, doing whatever he wanted to, I was worried less and less about that. And then, of course, they started reading the scorecards. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Who in their right mind would give that fight to Chavez? And I'm like, wait, it's boxing. They're in Mexico. Someone's been threatened by the cartel, I'm sure. That's all it can be, right? That or some judge just doesn't like Anderson's style, where he's kind of a showman. You know, that's not necessarily showboating, but he is definitely a showman. And he really cares more about putting on a show than winning. So with his style, saying, yeah, come get me, standing in the corner, literally walking himself back to the corner, it's either someone just didn't like his style or they're under threat of being beheaded.
And,
one of those two.
And when the scorecard was announced, Chavez Jr. kind of looked at his corner like, wait a minute, what just happened? I thought I was supposed to get this win. How is that even possible here?
Yeah, it's like, well, did you see what happened to you?
We saw vintage Anderson Silva at times. He obviously clearly won the fight. But then you don't ever know, right? And you mentioned when you hear the scorecards and you hear that one judge gives it to Cesar Chavez Jr., you're like, oh my gosh, this could be some trouble. Obviously, this is a big win, right? This is a huge win for Anderson Silva. This is a guy who has talked about boxing before. He's a 46-year-old retired MMA fighter. But let's be honest. I mean, Julio Cesar Chavez is clearly washed. He's got lots of issues all over the place, and he was not that impressive in general. But Anderson Silva has had two professional boxing fights before this. He was 1-1. His last fight was in 2005, though.
Yeah, Chavez has been described by some as just a pure clown. But let's remember, he was a former WBC middleweight champ. So he was a world champion at one point. It's just his motivation is his commitment.
He's a quitter.
He's raised a millionaire's kid, so he doesn't have that kind of heart, that fighter spirit, you know?
At least he didn't kill a man like his brother.
Right. What he did was he fought smaller and, like, rehydrated himself up. So he usually fought at, like, 168, which is really surprising that he couldn't make 180, 182 or wherever they were. But, yeah, so he was usually fighting smaller guys, and even then he was only able to win one piece of the title. Now that he's fighting a bigger guy and then just getting styled on, his motivation and his heart just, like, dropped out probably about the third round.
Yeah. After the fight, Canelo came in and showed respect to Silva, which I think Silva was very appreciative of that. And
he was very excited for that
moment. But afterwards, Jake Paul already came out and he congratulated Anderson Silva on his victory. He said that he would actually be interested in having him fight Roy Jones Jr. on the same card as him and Woodley. Now, that's a fight that they've been talking about. Roy Jones Jr. and Anderson Silva have talked about fighting for years at boxing.
Right. Well, notice the Pauls didn't come out and say that they wanted to fight Anderson. Yeah, that they didn't do. Number one, he's bigger than the guys that they've been fighting. Let's remember Ben Askren, Tyron Woodley, both welterweights. So Anderson's fought at 205 before with no problem. So, yeah, they don't want to fight him. But his star power on their card, yeah, you can hear that cash register.
Yeah, no,
I think they may have, they might be kind of friends. Anderson lives in L.A. They're in L.A. I think they might be friends that may have worked out together before.
Very interesting.
Which kind of taints the whole thing for me, too. Yeah.
All right. Now, in the tribute to the other, we're gonna go ahead and say that Anderson Silva is a king, right?
Going
to go to the other king. Julio Cesar Chavez versus Hector Camacho Jr.
Oh, my God. The old man still got it,
dude. Still got it. And things got interesting. In the fourth round, these guys, at the end of the third, these guys are jawing back and forth to each other. In between, Chavez pulls off his headgear. Camacho takes off his as well. Eventually, they get Cesar Chavez to put his headgear back on. But then Canelo Alvarez jumps in the ring. He corners Chavez for the last round.
It was invite.
By invite. Yeah. It was overall... Yeah. It was fun. It was a nice moment they shared at the end of the fight, Canelo and Chavez, and that's something you've been calling for a while. So that must have warmed your heart, Eddie.
Yeah. Well, first let me correct you. This fight was interesting from the beginning, because Julio Cesar Chavez is 58. He'll be 59 like next month. This dude, he is already the nursing home boxing champion. All right. This dude still got it. He would kick your butt, Jordan, right now. He would put you on your butt. And it was just fun to watch him go. Like, if you saw him in the 80s, which I don't know if you were paying attention, but I saw a couple of his fights. And the dude was a monster. And he still got it. So, yeah, it was interesting beforehand. And somehow they kind of got into it. A little bit of some pot shots after the bell. I think 3 out of the 4 rounds. And, yeah, when he took off his headgear... He's like, come on, none of this weenie crap anymore. Let's go. They literally had to convince him to put his headgear back on, probably for insurance purposes. And they were going at it, man. It was fun. Yep. It was like one of those old guy fights you see on YouTube.
Yeah, nice. Eddie, anything
else? Oh, and then the passing of the torch, too. Yeah, like
you were
like
waiting
you said
for that, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was literally, I know a lot of Mexican boxing fans haven't taken to Canelo just because he wants to be the greatest. And everyone sees JCC as the greatest, which, you know, makes plenty of sense. But Chavez understands that there's a new generation, and he acknowledges Canelo. And to see that was literally like a passing of the torch. I think a lot of the fans needed to see that. And hopefully that'll get them behind Canelo like he deserves.
Well, awesome. Anything else from the tribute to the Kings? Maybe from the princess?
The other prince, Omar Chavez... Julio Cesar Chavez, other son on the card. I'm starting to wonder if another one of his sons was that judge, but we'll talk about that some other time. Yeah, Omar Chavez lost to Canelo's brother, his older brother, Ramon Alvarez, in a rubber match. So that was kind of fun. You got the two families going at it again, and the Alvarezes not only beat the Chavezes, but then Canelo gets the rub from Julio at the end of the fight. So... Pretty big night for the Alvarezes, bigger than it was for the Chavezes, actually.
Yeah, big night all around. Well, Eddie, let's go to screen number 3. You got UFC Las Vegas 29. I guess that was screen number 1, wasn't it? You watched
that? That was on screen number 1, yeah.
So really, the main fight, I mean, the main event, Korean Zombie, defeats Dan Ige by unanimous decision. Zombie's coming off that loss to Brian Ortega back in October. On the feet, these two fighters, they seemed like they were pretty evenly matched to me. Right, it seemed like Dan Ige was able to get some shots in, but when Zombie wanted to take that fight to the ground, he was able to really, you know, threaten down there and take over that fight and keep him to the ground, and that's kind of where the scoring was done. I think the scores, there was two scorecards that were, you know, 4-1. One was 3-2. Were you surprised by those scorecards at all at the end of the day?
Not really. I mean, it wasn't a very zombie-like fight. So to see him wrestling so much was kind of different. Maybe it threw the judges off. Maybe they just don't care about wrestling. It's weird, man. When people wrestle a lot, we could talk about judging all day long.
Yeah, I mean,
and we will have to later on when we hit the PFL.
Yeah, that's true. After the fight, yeah. Korean Zombie calls out Max Holloway, who just recently had a pull out of his fight against Yair Rodriguez, which was supposed to happen, I think, next month. I like that fight, though, but Zombie, you know, he's always someone that, you know, has to be ready because of who he is, because he's popular, and because he really has a nation behind him, he could be plucked at any time. You know this as a shareholder, any time to jump into a title fight.
Let me tell you, if these shares don't pick up after McGregor-Poirier, I'm selling.
Okay.
That's the biggest event of the year. If they don't pick up after that, I'm out.
All right. Well, I'm sure you'll get your $57 back, and you'll be good.
About 150 now.
Oh, okay. There you go. Yeah. Eddie, what do you think about Dan Ige, though, right? He could make, you know, could he make 135 pounds? I mean, he's still young. I think he's getting better. But he has lost to some of the, you know, the top, you know, the, you know, top five fighters in that featherweight division.
He has, and he is a little smaller than the Zombie. But the fact that the Korean Zombie, who's known for his striking and just coming forward all the time, had to resort to his wrestling to beat him, I think that shows you how good Ige's stand-up is. So if he can shore up his wrestling defense, he's going to be a force to be reckoned with. And he's still under 30, so he's got time. So, but if he's going to move down, better do it now than later.
Okay. Let's go to another fight. Matt Brown, another kind of vintage performance. Matt Brown, great KO, really a walk-off, just sits him down. Brown was coming off two
losses.
Really
was the night for the old guys.
And it was great. You know, good to see Matt Brown get back in and get a win.
Yeah, it was. And, man, you kind of forgot that he had that kind of power. And Diego Lima, oh, boy, just face-planted.
Yeah,
It's been a rough week for the Lima family.
Yeah, a couple highlights. Sergey Spivak defeats Alexei Linick. Marlon Vera, that loss to Jose Aldo, he defeats Davy Grant. You see that picture on Instagram?
Yes, man, that is horrid. At first, I thought those were all stitches, but it was too early for that. It was just you got to see it. Look up Davy. I think it was Davy Grant MMA on Instagram.
Sungwoo Choi KO'd Julian Erosa. That was brutal, man. A big left-hand shot that finished him on the ground. I thought that was a great fight. Those guys actually won. Matt Brown, Sungwoo Choi, and Marlon Vera versus Davy Grant. They were the performances in Fight of the Night.
Yeah. And did you see who's a Kanako Murata's dislocated left arm?
I did not see that. That does not sound great.
Yeah, it was on the prelim. She kept trying to fight with it. I was at my buddy's house, and he does not like fighting. So he had left the room. I grabbed the remote. Let's see what's going on in the UFC. I'm like, she's not moving her left arm. And the announcer's like, yeah, she's not really using her left arm. I'm like, that thing popped out, didn't it?
Yeah, that's not great.
And then, but end of the round. She made it to the end of the round. Doctor stopped it. She was upset. But, yeah, that's why they have to save them from themselves. Yeah.
All right, hey, let's get over to PFL. Thursday night, Gleison Tibau, Eddie, on the cards, on paper, he defeats Rory McDonald, split decision, highly controversial, right? I don't see where Tibau run two rounds in that fight. Rory McDonald also felt that he was robbed, and it sounds like he might be trying to appeal the decision. What did you think?
I think this is one of the worst robberies we've seen in a long time. I mean, Rory McDonald clearly won that fight. I don't know what they were watching. There are no words aside from robbery. You know, these judges are horrible. They're playing with people's livelihoods. Imagine if Rory was just on the cusp of making the playoffs instead of, like, already in. This would have been a huge deal. But because he was basically already in, it kind of just gets swept under the rug. That was a horrible decision, one of the worst ever.
Yeah. So no matter what happens, let's say they appeal it and they reverse it, or they probably wouldn't, you know, they probably wouldn't reverse and give a win. They'd probably make it a no contest. If anything, it's only, you know, you get 1 point. So that's actually not going to change anything in his standings. He's going to end up facing Ray Cooper in the first round of the playoffs. Cooper, he missed weight. So he got a negative 1 point. So he went from 6 to 5 points. He defeats Nikolay Aleksikin and defeats him by decision. So now I was hoping that this would be the final fight in that tournament. I'm just happy that it's happening in general, right? We've had too many tournaments, Eddie, where the fight that we wanted to see, where they were kind of lining it up for them to fight each other, doesn't happen.
Right. So I'm not going to complain because the MMA gods will take it away from us in a heartbeat. So at least it's happening. But man, that was such a bad decision.
Yeah, no, it was a bad decision.
It was so bad.
One thing I really like about the PFL, though, Eddie, is that, you know, they have like these dates of when people are going to fight. And it's unlike, you know, Bellator and their Grand Prix, where they have like, hey, this person's going to fight this day. And then we don't know the next day and the next day and the next day. We know, like, hey, these are the dates of the PFL. This is when they're expected to fight, and if they can't, they're out of the tournament. And so that's why you have, you know, backups and stuff like that. But it's I like that part of it. So,
yeah,
Eddie.
That is great because, like, the UFC, we still don't know when Francis Ngannou was defending his title.
Yeah. Hey,
we've been talking about that for months.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, just boxing real quick. Jermall Charlo, he defeats Montiel, unanimous decision. I do want to
Yeah, that was on one of my screens, supposedly, but – I don't know if it was Showtime or my Fire Stick, but I could not get the stream to work.
Yeah,
so I can't talk about that one.
All right, but Nelia Inoue, third round KO over Michael Dasmarinas. That was brutal, man. ESPN gave him the star treatment, a good promo right before the fight. I think they said like the closest thing boxing has to a pure predator. Inoue is undefeated. He's been a three division champion now. He knocked down Dasmarinas with a left to the liver in the second, which was, you just saw it on his face. Then in the third, he knocks him down twice. So three knockdowns with body shots. The second one ended the fight. He's currently the pound for pound third ranked fighter in the world behind Canelo and Bud Crawford. That was great, man.
Dude, this guy really lives up to his nickname of the monster. And when you see him, the torque that he gets in those hooks to the body, I mean, it is like textbook punching. You see him see his legs twist, his hips twist, he digs that shoulder in. It is beautiful to watch and painful.
Yeah, so he has IBF and WBA bantamweight titles. John Real Casimero has the WBO, and Nonito Donaire has the WBC. They're going to meet on August 14th, I think in California, to unify those titles. And then you would think you'd have a pure unification title between Inoue to become the undisputed champion. He's and Inoue actually already defeated Donaire back in 2019 in a fight of the year candidate right there. So that was awesome. Gamebred FC, Eddie, we forgot to talk about it, but just real quickly, Jason Knight defeats Charles Bennett. Did you see any of that? I mean, just seeing these guys, it's essentially mixed martial MMA just with no gloves.
Right. I didn't get to see it because I went out to see A Quiet Place Part 2. Mm. Pretty good. I was a little disappointed at the ending. It was like, it could have been like 10 minutes more or something to wrap things up a little better. But no, I didn't get to see it, but I was scrambling trying to find results.
Yeah, I saw
which
that.
Which they didn't do a good job of putting out the results either.
Brock Weaver defeats Cliff Wright. And Eddie, real quick, I do want to highlight our friends over at Third Coast Grappling. Ryan McGuire and Mary Barron, they were on our show, obviously, last week. There was the Third Coast Grappling Middleweight Grand Prix. In the end, Macal Galvao defeats Pedro Marinho via submission. And then Mary Barron, she defeated Lynette Villanueva via submission. So congratulations to them. So, Eddie, that is boxing. Tribute to the Kings. Inoue, Charlo. That was UFC Las Vegas 29. PFL, Gamebred FC, Third Coast Grappling. Guys, you're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com, and we will be right back.
This is Superstage Northcutt, and you are listening to Fight Night with Mr. Wahlberger and Mr. Cross on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com.
It's What's Up With That?
Woke up this morning and I got out of bed. Had a big old cup of coffee to clear my head. Been home for a while and that's where I'm at. But we can still jam on What's Up With That? Ooh-wee. What's up with that? What's up with that? Ooh-wee. What's up with that? What's up with that? What's up with that? You, yeah. Woo! Yeah.
And welcome back to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com. I'm your host, Eddie Cross. That's Jordan Wahlberger. And Jordan, I just realized that my browser still has the story about that BYU runner on my screen. So I'm going to ask you this first question so I can close this out and stop being distracted by that dude's shorts. After our show last week, it was announced
shorts.
That... Oh my God. It was John Stockton short shorts. It was announced that Teofimo Lopez last week contracted COVID and his fight with George Kambosos has been postponed. What's up with that?
Eddie, I'll be honest. You and I just... eloquently broke down Teofimo Lopez versus George Kambosos.
It was masterful.
I mean, it was amazing. The things that you said, I mean, brought me to tears. And we had to scrap it. We just had to kill it. We had to just get rid of that and add more because the fight got canceled. And what a bummer that was. But so unfortunately for Lopez, the guy who holds the main WBA, the WBO, the IBF, the WBC franchise, and the Ring Magazine lightweight titles, he tested positive for COVID-19. He is symptomatic, him and his pregnant wife. His fight
asymptomatic or symptomatic?
No, he is symptomatic. So okay. He does have symptoms. His fight against Kambosos was been rescheduled. It was supposed to be in Miami. And so the whole undercard now is moved. Right now, the date is August 14th. Unfortunately, the fight was scheduled to be at Marlins Park. And the Marlins have a game on August 14th. They're playing the Cubs. So now they're going to have to go find a different location for the fight. Now, it does really matter, depend on like how Lopez can recover. We saw what happened to Alexander Volkanovski and his battle with COVID. It took him a while to recover. So maybe August 14th is not completely settled there. Kambosos obviously not real happy with this. He was very critical, called him irresponsible. You got to feel bad for him, though. He made weight this week. His whole family flew here from Australia. They'd been there for weeks on end training. His wife is pregnant as well. She came over here. And so overall, it's just a really crappy situation for everybody. And I'd also heard that Lopez had some health issues like that would make him vulnerable to COVID. So he was really trying to stay away. So it was pretty serious.
Well, he wasn't trying that hard because he was in Vegas the week before for another fight just to be in the crowd. And that's probably where he contracted it. I'm like, I got to agree with Kambosos. That was really irresponsible. Well, especially if you do have some underlying conditions.
Yeah. On a side note, Lopez actually recently amended his deal with ESPN and Top Rank. Now through 2023, they raised his minimum purses, which that's the whole reason he's fighting on Triller, actually. ESPN, Top Rank, they couldn't agree on a minimum purse for this fight, so that's why they sent it out to bid. Triller bid over $6 million to secure the rights. ESPN, Top Rank bid on it, and Matchroom Boxing bid on it, and then Triller won that in the end.
That is surprising, but fair play to them. Let's stick with Triller here, Jordan. It was announced that Oscar De La Hoya versus Vitor Belfort will headline an event on September 11th. It's a little disrespectful. What's up with that?
So originally we thought that Vitor was going to fight this last weekend against the real Tarzan, Mike Holston, on the Lopez card. That fight is no longer happening. And now we know that it's going to be a special exhibition boxing match against De La Hoya. It's expected to happen in Las Vegas. They're expected to wear 12-ounce gloves as well. Triller is going to have concerts that week and the fight. Swiss Beats and Timbaland are going to be overseeing the entertainment portion of the event. There's going to be a versus rap battle that's going to take place on Friday night. This will be the first fight for De La Hoya since 2008 when he lost to Manny Pacquiao. Belfort saying that he will box Evander Holyfield after his fight against De La Hoya. So the extreme zookeeper, he's out. No longer gets options for fight for him.
Listen, man, have you seen our buddy, our second favorite Aggie, Sage Northcutt, lately?
No, I haven't.
He looks like a light heavyweight. That dude is jacked to the gills. Looks like he's going for Mr. Olympia.
Does he look like TRT Vitor?
That was my segue. If Vitor Belfort was working out with Sage in there in his short time and won, if he's anything like that, I feel sorry for Oscar and Evander because Sage is jacked to the gills, dude. I mean, it is scary. And he's got a 5 o'clock shadow going. Looks like a grown man now. I'm like, oh, he's all grown up. Our second favorite Aggie. One more boxing note, Jordan. Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder had a press conference last Tuesday. What's up with that?
Yeah, it was kind of an interesting press conference, Eddie. You know, Fury, him and Wilder both made opening comments. Wilder said, look, enough's been said. It's time to cut off his head. And come July 24th, there will be bloodshed. Get your tickets now. I'll see you soon. And at that point, he deferred all questions to his trainer, Malik Scott. He had his headphones on, didn't say another word during the press conference. You know, Fury obviously has a lot to say. He actually, you know, hey, cut off your head, do this, do that. I've heard it before. He said that before. But for me, the most intriguing part, Eddie, was the stare down. It lasted 5 minutes and 36 seconds. They brought in security guards around them for like the final 2 minutes of it. And then Wilder's team comes in, they grab him, take him away. And Fury stays in that same spot looking over where Wilder was for another minute. I mean, for not saying a lot, it definitely got me more excited for the fight. These guys do not like each other.
Yeah, it really, like you said, did say a lot without saying a word. I mean, it was like 5 minutes of silence and just weird uncomfortableness. But you could feel the tension. You could, like said, like they say, you could literally cut it with a knife. And yeah, I do want to see this. And they are going to be slinging leather on July 24th. It's going to be fun. Yeah, we should watch that in your hot tub.
I will be in Las Vegas. I probably won't be at the fight because I get there that morning.
Oh, you son of a.
But I will be in Vegas.
Hey, you got to get that press pass.
Eddie, I'm about to be gone for a month. I don't think I told you this. I will be gone for most of July and in August. If you just can find
You're not even packed up.
Just maybe you could find a replacement for me for those time, and that would be great.
I know a guy.
Good, perfect.
Now, a couple of guys that we are very familiar with, Robert Whittaker and Israel Adesanya, their trash talk is beginning to heat up, unlike Fury and Wilder, who just stared at each other silently. And you know this, I hate the trash talk, but it's kind of funny so far. What's up with that?
Yeah, so Whittaker spoke with the Daily Telegraph last week and said that, you know, Adesanya, not untouchable, called it an average performance against Vettori, and said, yeah, he's someone that's going to get hit. He says he doesn't put him in the realm of the gods. He is definitely not a god. He's a very good fighter, but he's not as good as he thinks he is. Adesanya obviously knocked him out and said, look, he took issue with that. He says, if I'm not as good as I think I am, then what does that make you? He followed it up with, I might not be a god to you, but I baptized you. Hashtag Jesus with a Z. And then Whittaker,
yeah, that was funny.
You know, not typically someone who gets into a back and forth with his opponent. So we'll see if he will fire back or not. Whittaker is typically very respectful. Izzy, not so much. He definitely can play that game. Just a side note, Eddie, though, going back to UFC, gosh, was it 261 or 263 now, actually? Adesanya made $500K for the fight before pay-per-view. Vettori made $350. You've got the fight sold about 600 pay-per-view, so you got a good pay-per-view payday there. Nate Diaz made $250. Deiveson Figueiredo made $210. Damian Maia made $175. That's probably why they're not going to re-sign him. Leon Edwards made $110K. Brandon Moreno made $100K. So those are the top earnings over at UFC 263.
Dude, that's embarrassing. Anderson Silva made $100,000 just for Junior missing weight. And that's what Brandon Moreno took home for a title fight. Leon Edwards took that home.
He'll make some money next time, though.
Yeah, maybe 210, like Deiveson Figueiredo made.
I'm not surprised that Leon Edwards made 110. They don't like him, let's be honest.
Right. Sheesh. Going to start agreeing with the Paul brothers here. So according to his manager, Ali Abdelaziz, speaking of money, Rashad Evans is coming out of retirement. What's up with that?
Yeah, so Rashad retired from MMA back in June 2018 following a first-round loss to Anthony Smith. It was his fifth loss in a row. The five-fight skid actually goes back to November 2013. It was a TKO win over Chael Sonnen. Rashad has not won a fight since 2013. Brett Okamoto of ESPN, who reported that he's not that he's coming back. He's going to most likely come back to box, and discussions are already underway for people to fight like a Logan Paul or Roy Jones Jr. Rashad hasn't put out a formal announcement. He's 41 years old, and we have seen kind of that drop in performance, right? We know Rashad has power, but I don't love him going back to boxing, especially if it was against a younger guy like a Paul. And, you know, Jake would be much more difficult than Logan, I would think.
Yeah, I'm okay with him boxing. He's got a little bit of Anderson style, but not nowhere near as much as, like, Adesanya. But he still always had that quickness, and he had more power. So he might be all right when you don't have to worry about the takedowns. So, but as long as he's fighting someone closer to his age, I think he'll be okay. But you see all these guys coming back for these because they see Tyron Woodley having the biggest payday of his life, Anderson Silva having the biggest payday of his life off one boxing match. I mean, all of a sudden it's like, hey, retirement money. I could fight some loser, and win or lose, I'm set. It's hard to blame him.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's you're right. I mean, if he's fighting someone his own age, but I don't, and I think, I mean, Logan Paul, I think he's not, I mean, I think Jake Paul is the one that's clearly taking this a little bit more serious than his brother. And so, who's a little bit younger, who's probably a little bit better than Logan Paul, to be honest. And so, I don't want him to see him against, like, these young guys who have the speed and that power that kind of scares me for someone like Rashad Evans.
That doesn't really scare me so much, because when you think about what scares you, you're thinking of you saw what they did to Ben Askren or Nate Robinson, guys who had no boxing skill whatsoever. So I'm not as worried as you are about them. But either way, it's just a bad look.
Yeah. not going to be great.
But now to see Rashad fight someone like Roy Jones Jr. or maybe even Evander Holyfield, that would be fun.
That would be fun. All righty, let me hit you with some new fights. Actually, some great fights. Michael Chiesa versus Vicente Luque, UFC 265. That's a big fight, man. And that could really, you know, push someone up to that upper echelon in that division. Ion Cutelava versus Devin Clark. That's UFC Fight Night, September 18th. Curtis Blaydes is fighting Jairzinho Rozenstruik, UFC 266. Over in Bellator, you got Tyrell Fortune fighting Matt Mitrione and Litton Vassell fighting Marcelo Golm, both on Bellator 262 on July 16th. Eddie, that's new fights. That's what's up with that, guys. You're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com, and we will be right back.
Until next time, hey, 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 hey. What's up with that? What's up with that?
This is future UFC heavyweight champion Derek the Black Beast Lewis, and you're listening to Fight Night with Eddie and Jordan on the horn.
Back to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com. Eddie, this Saturday, UFC Las Vegas 30, a heavyweight, you could even say this is a title eliminator right here. We know that the champion, Francis Ngannou, is going to fight Derek Lewis next. Not sure when that fight's going to happen, but Ciryl Gane versus Alexander Volkov. Gane coming off a win over Jairzinho Rozenstruik back in February. He's undefeated, currently ranked third. Volkov has two wins in a row, one over Walt Harris, the other over Alistair Overeem, ranked fifth. You could make the argument, though, that in a world where the UFC cannot come to terms with John Jones, that the winner of this fight, especially if it's Ciryl Gane, could fight the winner of Derek Lewis versus Francis Ngannou. I know that leaves Stipe Miocic out kind of in no man's land, which he needs to get back in there. I don't think he deserves a title match, a rematch, by not doing anything. So he needs to get and fight somebody. But it's Ciryl Gane. I mean, he's right up there, man. He is someone that could earn a title shot off of a victory this weekend.
How much would you love to see the winner of this fight take on Stipe?
That'd be great.
For the next title shot.
I would love that. But
Stipe versus Volkov would be great, dude. That'd be just two, like, long, rangy heavyweights. That'd be fun.
Yeah, I think this is going to be Ciryl Gane, fun fight.
He's badass.
A surprisingly double heavyweight main event and co-main event. OSP,
yeah, what's up with that?
Versus Tanner Bowser. This was actually supposed to be a light heavyweight fight for OSP versus Maxim Grishin, and Grishin had to pull out of the fight. And so on short notice, they got Tanner Bowser, who's coming off of his loss to Alir Latifi a few weeks ago. And so OSP going to move up and wait. A couple other interesting fights. Daniel Pineda versus Andre Feely. Both guys bring fun fights. Renato Moicano versus Jai Herbert. I don't know if you remember this. Herbert lost his initial fight in the UFC to Francisco Trinaldo. This was the fight that happened when Dan Hardy got in a little hot water with the UFC for yelling at Herb Dean during the fight and then yelling at him after the fight. That was Jai Herbert. So anything else? I think Tim Means versus Nicholas Dalby. That sounds like a fun fight, actually, on the card. Yancy Medeiros on the on
Yancy
the card.
Medeiros, yeah.
Anything else that is interesting to you, Eddie?
That's about it, really. But this is one of those where they don't have a lot of big names, but this one sounds like it could be a good card to watch overall.
Yeah, if I could,
especially
see
with those heavyweights at the top.
Those heavyweights at the top, that could be fun. On Thursday night, Eddie, you've got PFL 6, Kayla Harrison fighting Cindy Dendois, Anthony Pettis fighting Roush Manila. Is it Manfio?
Manfio.
Movlid Kaibulev versus Lance Palmer is happening. This is interesting, right? So Kayla Harrison, the defending women's PFL lightweight champion, she's fighting Cindy Dendois. This is her second regular season matchup. This is the final fight before the playoffs. In her last fight against Marina Moraes, Kayla, she continued to show that she's a very well-rounded fighter. That was another victory for her on the feet. She had an amazing post-fight interview, really just kind of throwing down the gauntlet to every other woman in MMA, which was awesome. And so it's you know, when Kayla Harrison fights, right now for me, it is must-watch TV.
It is, and I kind of feel bad for Cindy Dendois just for being in this matchup. And now Cindy Dendois, she's a veteran, but she's like 37, 38, 39, something like that. I mean, on the ground, she's very good, but she's not a lightweight.
Yeah.
She should not be fighting Kayla Harrison.
I think she fought at bantamweight at one time in some of the other organizations she was in. So, Eddie, in the co-main event, Anthony Pettis, he is fighting Roush Manfio. And, you know, obviously this was supposed to happen a few weeks ago. Well, at least Pettis was supposed to fight a few weeks ago. He got sick. They moved the fight with a win. Pettis will go to the playoffs. Right now he has 0 points because he lost to Clay Collard in his last fight. And the third and fourth fighters, Manfio is one of them, have 3 points. So with a win, Anthony Pettis will have 3 points. He'll have the tiebreaker over Manfio because he defeated him head-to-head. And so he would take it. He would go to the playoffs, which obviously that would be very important for the PFL since they made that investment in here. Lance Palmer would need a first-round victory over Khabibulev to guarantee him a spot in the playoffs. So he needs those 3 points for winning and 3 points for finishing the fight in the first round to guarantee him a spot in the playoffs at featherweight.
Can I tell you just how much I love the like normal sporting aspect of PFL?
Yeah.
And you know what someone needs to make the playoffs and you got to win by this much. And it's just like watching basketball or baseball down the stretch and you have like a magic number. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
I like it. Hey, on Friday night, we're kind of jumping around all over the place here. Timothy Johnson versus Valentin Moldavsky for the interim heavyweight title. Obviously, the champion, Ryan Bader, is still in the light heavyweight Grand Prix and has never defended. I don't think he's ever defended that title since he won it in the last Grand Prix. And
I think you're right.
Timothy Johnson coming off of a win over Matt Mitrione. Actually, Chet Congo first.
Wait, didn't he fight Chet Congo? Yeah.
Chet Congo, Matt Mitrione, and Tyrell Fortune. You've got Moldavsky, coming off wins over Roy Nelson, Javi Ayala, and Linton Vassell. Liz Carmouche fights Kana Watanabe. And then also on the fight card, you've got Daniel Weichel. He's fighting Keani Diggs. Christian Edwards, which is Leon Edwards' brother, fighting. Miles Jury fighting also on the card. So, Eddie, let's go over to boxing real quick. What are the highlights that we need to know about boxing this weekend?
Dude, there is so much boxing this month. Let's see. We've got Gervonta Davis versus Mario Barrios. Barrios is apparently a super lightweight. So I've seen things in different places that say it is for a title, say it isn't for a title. Pretty sure it is. Barrios is born in San Antonio. Both of him and Davis come into this fight undefeated. This one should be fun to watch.
Yeah, I thought that
Gervonta Davis is always fun to watch.
Yeah, I saw Gervonta fight at that Mayweather-McGregor card back in the day.
Yeah, he's got a good style. Comes out to the ring, especially looking pretty sharp. That one's going to be on Showtime over on ESPN Plus. Vasily Lomachenko returns after losing his titles to Teofimo Lopez, so this is his first fight back. And remains to be seen whether or not he's really lost a step. So this one's kind of a title eliminator between him and Masayoshi Nakatani.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
That's awesome. So on Saturday. BKFC, Eddie, you've got this is like
bare knuckle
former Luis Palomino. I know he was in Bellator when I know he fought Ben Askren back in the day. But you've got like Joey Beltran. They're all for titles, right? So you got Joey Beltran fighting for the heavyweight title. You've got Hector Lombard versus Joe Riggs for the cruiserweight title.
Riggs.
You got Luis Palomino fighting Tyler Goodjohn for the lightweight championship, and then you've got Thiago Alves fighting Ulysses Diaz. He is fighting for the middleweight title. So that's like I don't know if they've coined it as the all title fight, but that'll
Clash
be
of Champions.
Fun. So yeah.
Yeah, it's very reminiscent of PFL Championship Saturday. Whenever they have it in December.
Ton of combat sports, guys. Next week, we're going to be talking. We're going to recap this, and then it's straight to McGregor versus Poirier. There's nothing else after that. So, guys, check out Sports Guys Talking Wrestling coming up next on Twitter. You can follow us on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, Fight Night ATX. We are proud to be the official MMA show of 104.9 The Horn and HornFM.com.
Be safe, get vaccinated, stay positive, and love your life. And if we ever didn't thank you, let us do it now.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.